listening. It's appreciated.
Always a pleasure, Low Tide. Great being on the show.
Well, let me ask you, because I was looking at Puckpedia and Cap Friendly and all those good things, and it was difficult for me to kind of ascertain the depth chart, because they had, as an example, Pierre-Luc Dubois, Grunstrom, and Byfield listed as the fourth line. And lo and behold, after the game at 5-on-5, Byfield led the team with 15-10, PLD at 14-04. So I know they're trying to spread out the offense or the quality of players. They have a deep team, but it was a little confusing. And I do wonder if we'll see the same alignment tonight, and maybe the mix and match with the Kopitar and the Dano line will change a little too.
Here's a pro tip. Don't pay attention to the pregame line, what shows on the pregame lines, or even in the warm-up. Because last game, they had Fiala with Blizzard and Lewis, and he started, and Jim Hiller started with Fiala, Byfield, and Dubois. So the one thing that Jim Hiller is willing to do, Low Tide, is switch up his line combinations. Not so much the pairings. The defensive pairings will stay the same. I think you watch the first 5 to 10 minutes, how the game flows, and Jim makes adjustments, and he's welcome to do it. So, yeah, the depth charts that you look on, these different sites, they're meaningless when it comes to Jim Hiller and the way he deploys his lines.
So they did run the Daniel line quite a bit against McDavid, but they also ran Kopitar. So I'm wondering, because he did talk about, you know, we got to figure out, you know, guys who can play, and he does mix and match. Any thoughts on who he might? I think Doughty's going to be out there a lot against McDavid, but in terms of forwards, do you think it'll be Kopitar?
No, I think it'll be Dano because of the speed factor. Okay. Yeah, I do love Kopi. He's a sulky winner, but he's better suited to defend Leon, without question, because of the speed and the size. It's just a mismatch. As great as Kopi is defensively, the speed factor Connor he brings to the ice, it's too much of a mismatch. So I think that you'll see that now. But it's not working. You see what you saw, where it's 4-0 in the first second period, you might see it again. But I think to start, I think his first wish, and I think he would see it in Los Angeles in 3 and 4, would be Dano against McDavid and Kopitar against Leon Draisaitl.
And then they've got two really good pairings, so they can mix and match, right? The Doughty pairing is going to play a lot, but the other pairings with Gavrikov is good as well. Kings have to stay out of the penalty box. We know this. Yeah. They also need to play that rugged physical game, because I do think it works at least a little bit against the Oilers. How do they, and the referees obviously have an impact on what is called, how do they sort of walk that tightrope of being rugged and physical and not getting into the penalty box?
Okay, don't be stupid. Like the Dubois penalty. Now, look, I joked. I tweeted on Monday night, Dubois got a penalty for hitting McDavid. Oh, no, it was interference. Connor's almost off the, you know, almost off the ice, but you can't hit Connor when he's just getting off the ice. And, of course, the end of the second period, hold tight, that Trevor Moore has been great for the Kings. He's a smart player. That was a dumb penalty he took against Desharnais. You don't take that penalty. You go to the room. You're thinking, okay, we got a shot at 4-2. Right now, you take that penalty, you go to the room thinking, all right, are they going to get another one? They did, 5-2. So you got to be smart about it. And the one thing about the physicality, Lieutenant, I don't know what they're doing with respect to the score sheets here, but when you go back to game one score sheet, they had the Kings for 65 hits. Like, that's not the LA Kings. I think around the league, the hitting, at least the way it's being recorded, is really, really high. So you got to be time and place, opportunistic. You got to be able to push back. You got to be better in front of your net. The physicality has to come in front of the net because, as an example, Zach's hat trick goal. He's standing by himself in front of the net. And I know they play a 1-2-1 diamond, but you got to get on Zach. Like, you know where Zach's going to go. Like, he's going to go to the crease on a power play, right? So the physicality in front of the net's going to be important, and the pushback's going to be important. But more so than the physicality, they have to be able to deploy their 1-3-1. Yeah. And they didn't all game. Like, they were, the Oilers were too fast in the neutral zone. You saw so many odd man rushes, I think 8 or 9 odd man rushes for the Oilers. That just simply can't happen, or we're going to have a repeat of game one.
Dennis Bernstein, our guest from the fourth period. Okay, let me ask you this, because the sense I get is that the Kings are most of, number one, they score the first goal, but they're most effective when they can suppress the outlet pass, put a lot of pressure on Bouchard and CeCe and whomever. The puck goes in the corner and they're on him like a fly on stink. And for the Oilers were doing a pretty good job in game one of getting that to happen. I'm not saying they did all the time. Let's review. It was 4-2 after two. It was a game. But that's got to be a part of their game, right? Getting in there and making the defenseman on the Edmonton side make mistakes.
Yeah, I think you want to, if you're Kings and you're Jim Hill, you want to attack the bottom four defensemen. Because the top pair with Bouchard and Ekholm, it's hard to penetrate, even though, you know, Evans is an offensive player, but, you know, Matisse is a great defender. So I think that's the opportunity to go after CeCe, to go after Vinny Darnay, and, you know, with the forecheck and try to make get turnovers in the offensive zone and create opportunities in front of Stuart Skinner, which they didn't really create. You know, look, I think the four goals are misleading, Lothar, because the last two goals were just fluke goals. Right. I mean, so it was really like a 5-2, 6-2 game.
Yeah.
But that would be their strategy to get possession in the offensive zone, put pressure on the bottom four defensemen, go to the net, try to get opportunities, get Byfield and Dubois, who are the bigger forwards on the team, in front of Stuart Skinner to create traffic and possibly get, you know, goal mouth goals like the Yalas have been doing, did in game one.
So I it's been confirmed by both coaches that they're going to let it ride with the lineups. That means, for instance, Cam Talbot is going to be starting. Yes. I don't blame – like the Leon Draisaitl goal on the fifth goal, the early third period goal, that was a gorgeous shot. I don't know how you stop that. But they do have David Rittich, who has actually played well against the Oilers. Do you see a possibility that we see Rittich by the end of this series?
Yeah, I asked Jim Hiller about the choice. Here's the thing. He absolved Cam Talbot of game one because the defense in front of him was so poor. It really was. He said the forwards didn't help the defense. The defense didn't help the goaltender. So, but I will say this, Lothar, shorter leash. If it's 2-0 after one and there are two bad goals, could you see David Rittich? Now, here's the thing about Rittich. Here's the thing about the Kings' goaltending. They're system goaltenders, like system quarterbacks in football. They are not made to have 45 saves. Like the Oilers had in, like, 45 shots in game one. Like, then it's not Hellebuck. It's not Demko. It's not Bobrovsky and Neb. They have to limit chances. They need 25 to 30 shots in a game. So if it's Rittich and they get 42 shots on him, you're probably going to have the same outcome. Here's the thing about Rittich. Yes, his numbers are equal to Cam Talbot, but he's played three games in the last month, one against San Jose and one against Anaheim. I don't think that's the same quality of offense that he would face tonight. So I think that you may see him if it goes south early for Cam, but I think Jim's still confident that if the defense plays in better in front of Cam Talbot, they have a shot to win tonight.
That's very good information. I notice across the league, everything seems to be getting tied up 1-1. The Oilers have a chance to go 2-0 as they head back to the coast. But I wonder, like, everybody always says, well, it's do or die. I never believe that because you're not out of it until you lose a game at home, I think.
Yeah.
From the Kings' point of view, they've been there. They've been in series against Edmonton. How important is winning game two, in your opinion, for Los Angeles?
It depends what cliche you want to buy, right? Here's the thing. The Kings have played, Kings and the Oilers have played five times this year, and that was the worst performance in game five. So if you look at progression or regression with respect to the Kings, they've played worse by game five. The games in the regular season, look, I picked the Oilers in six. I'll be transparent because they were a better team, but they were marginally better. It wasn't like four or five game series I was predicting, but this game was the worst performance. I'll give Chris Knobloch and the staff credit. They really did a great scouting job in game one. They were ready. They knew how to attack the Kings. They got them off their game. They got time and space in the neutral zone. So I think they should treat this like a game seven. You can say, yeah, we can go home, get two at home. But the last time I checked, when did the last series, they won game six in Los Angeles. The Oilers aren't afraid to come to Los Angeles to win a game. I think based on the performance in game one and the way this series has been going, regular season and game one, they really need to play this like a game seven because I can't see the way the Kings are playing. If we have a repeat performance tonight, Low Tide, like, you're going to tell me then the Kings are going to go home and win 4 out of 5 against this team?
No.
I don't think so. It's not going to look good. So, look, if they play a close game, that'll give them some hope. If we have a repeat performance like game one, it could be, let's put it this way. I'm from Los Angeles. I may not be coming back for game five if it's another repeat of game one.
We are much smarter now than we were a few minutes ago, and it's because of you. Thank you, sir.
Always a pleasure. Low Tide. Thanks for the time.
All right.